morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 228. 228. Sing hymn number 355. 355.
Thank you. Mark chapter 3. Start in verse 31, go to the end of the chapter, verse 21, we'll go to the end of the chapter. And when his friends heard of it, about him being in such a house and so many people there that they couldn't even eat bread, and when his friends heard, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils he cast out devils. And he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but he hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherever in soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Father, in the blessed name of your beloved Son, the Son of your love, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence. Thankful that we can come. Come with boldness. Come with liberty. Come with confidence. Come with assurance that you'll receive us and hear us, not for our sake, but for Christ's sake. For what he did and who he is, what he accomplished. What a blessing it is to be able to approach into the presence of the holiest of holies, because we have a high priest that preceded us. Our forerunner entered into the very presence of God for us. And Lord, I bless you for this day. Oh, what a day. Every day's your day. Every day's the day that you made. And every day's a day that we are preserved by you and kept by you and upheld by you and saved by grace every single day of our lives. And oh, Lord, we thank you for that. That we have this assurance that you'll never, ever leave us nor forsake us. That you'll keep us in your hand. And nobody can pluck us out of your hand. And Lord, we pray for those among us that are never yet trusted Christ. Lord, would you be pleased to open hearts, open the understanding. And Lord, we've gathered here to worship you. Enable us to worship in spirit and in truth. Enable us to hear the gospel. Enable me to preach the gospel. And Lord, we pray for those who are not with us through your providence, that are traveling, that are not here because of their bodies and the frailty of their body. We pray for them and ask for your great and abundant mercies be given for Christ's sake. Meet with us today. Bring glory to yourself and do it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 268. 268.
Thank you.
together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
You're still in Mark chapter 3. I want to talk about a kingdom divided, But I want you to start looking there at me in verse with me in verse 21. Now our Lord had went into a house, and he couldn't even eat. They couldn't even eat because they had such a crowd in that house and around that house, such a multitude together. And when it says his friends, if you look in the margin, it says his kinsmen. His kinsmen. He had brothers and sisters from Mary and Joseph that he was born of God, but they was raised with him, and this is what they said. And when his kinsmen heard, they went out to lay hold on him. They went out and said, we need to bring him to the house. Why? Because he's beside himself. He's lost his mind. He said, these crowds and all this miracles that he's been doing and these big crowds just went to his head, and he's beside himself. He's lost his mind, and we need to apprehend him and take him home with us. And that's what they're saying. Now here's people that was raised with him. They saw his sinlessness. They never saw anything out of him, but nothing. In fact, our Lord never bumped his foot against a rock. Our Lord never stubbed his toe. Our Lord never hurt his hand when he worked in a carpenter shop with a hammer. That would mean that he was imperfect in some way. He was as perfect from the day he was born till the day he hung on a cross. And these family members here, his brothers and sisters, and Jude later became a believer. But anyway, they thought that this man, they never saw his sinlessness. They didn't see his perfections. They never saw how obedient a child he was and how submissive he was to his mother and father. They never saw the wisdom of God in him. But yet all they saw was that he's got this great multitude of people following him. And so it's gone to his head. He's got proud and he's got full of imaginations and things. And we need to get a hold of him and take him somewhere where he won't hurt himself because he's lost his mind. Could you imagine people thinking that about Christ? Thinking that about Christ. But oh my, he's lost his mind. And then the next verse says this. Verse 22. And this is where I'm going to deal with, down to verse 30. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth out devils. Now let me tell you something about the scribes. They were interpreters of the law. They wrote it out in jots and tittles, and they were interpreters of the law. But the Pharisees, they were enforcers of the law. They was always the one that got upset when they broke the law. Scribes interpreted, and then the Pharisees enforced it. And that'd be like why you have a bunch of folks in church, you know, the preacher does what he's supposed to do, and then when folks need to be straightened out, we got a committee that's going to straighten you out. And that's what this was about. That's what this is about. But oh my. And they make an awful, awful, absurd charge against the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, he hath Beelzebub. And that's the prince of the devils. That's the main devil. And he casteth out devils by the prince of the devils. Now, how in the world could that be? That's what an absurd, ludicrous charge to make against anybody, much less the Lord Jesus Christ. How can the devil cast out the devil? How can Satan cast out Satan? So you see the charge that they brought against Christ, how ludicrous it is, how evil it is, how absurd it is. And all, look, in Matthew's version, look what it says over here, Matthew chapter 12. Look at it with me in Matthew chapter 12, and look how it happened over here. There's an account of this in all of the Gospels except John's. And look in verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, and he was blind and he was dumb. This man couldn't see and he couldn't talk. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind saw and the deaf spake, dumb spake. He not only gave him his eyesight, but he was able to talk. He'd been dumb before. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But oh my, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. So they saw this great miracle, and they turned around and said, there's no way he could cast out this devil unless he did it by the devil himself. That's what they said. They saw this blind man see who had never saw. They saw this dumb man talk who had never spoke a word in his life. And they said, turn around and said, you know how he did that? You know how he dealt with that devil? He did it by the devil himself. That's what they said. And you talk about making no sense. They were willfully misrepresented our Lord's work. And that's what our Lord said back over here in our text in Mark chapter 3. And he called these scribes and the people around him, and he said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? How can Satan cast out Satan? Oh my, what a dangerous ground these men are on. And then our Lord says this. He said, if a kingdom be divided against itself, how in the world can that kingdom cannot stand? And then he goes on to say, if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We've seen that happen time and time again. But a kingdom, you know how many kings have been destroyed because they were divided against themselves? One king claims the throne, another king comes claims the throne. Who's got the power? That's what happened. And then a house, a husband and wife divided against one another. They don't love, they get against one another. Next thing you know, the house falls apart. And that's what he says, a kingdom that's divided, it's going to fall. It's going to fall. It has to fall. And that's what he said. And that, no wonder we say this, united we stand, or divided we fall. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if Satan cast out Satan, look what he said here in verse 26. And he said, and if Satan rise up against himself, if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand. His kingdom cannot stand. And that kingdom has an end. It comes to where it cannot stand anymore. It has an end. It can't go on. It can't go on. And oh my. And then he says this. And this is what I won't deal with. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he'll spoil his house. Who is this strong man? Who is this strong man that our Lord's talking about? Well, it can only be one person. It can only be the devil himself. It can only be Satan. That's all it could be. And I tell you, and the devil, who is this strong man? He's the devil. Now, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to deal with this over from Luke chapter 11. I want to deal with this from over here where our Lord was dealing with this thing. Luke chapter 11 and verse 20. And look what he says over here. And he and our Lord starts saying here in verse 19. I want you to see this now. And he said, If I by the prince of the devils cast out devils, why, who do your sons cast them out by? Therefore, they shall be your judges. They're going to be in judgment against you because who do your sons do it? If I do it by the devil, who do your sons do it for? But now listen to this. He said, but if I with the finger of God, that's all it takes, is the finger of God. One finger. If I with the finger of God cast out devils, there's no doubt that the kingdom of God's come right into your presence. I do it with one finger. And if I do it with one finger, you know what that means? That God's right here. The kingdom of God's right here. Not devil, that the kingdom of God's right here. And if I cast them out with a finger, and the kingdom of God's come unto you. And then look what he says. And when a strong man's arm keeps his paddles. He talks about a strong man's arm. A strong man armed. Oh my. And who is this strong man? We already told you, it's the devil himself. And look at his character. He said he's a strong man. He's a strong man. What makes him strong? What makes him strong? Cunningness. He's very cunning. He's very deceitful. His subtlety. That's what he said. We know he's subtle. His strength is in his, it is cunning and deceit and subtlety. He knows exactly how to deal with men. He faced our first parents, and he was so cunning and so subtle and so deceiving that he convinced them that they would not die. He convinced them that if they ate of that fruit of knowledge of tree and evil, God wouldn't kill them, that God wouldn't punish them, and they would not die. He convinced them. He convinced them of that, and they took of that fruit. That's how cunning he is. He took parents, our parents, who was in paradise, had never sinned, didn't even know what sin was, but he convinced them. He convinced them to go eat of that fruit. God's not going to let you die. Oh, he's not that way. He's too good. He's not going to punish you for your sin. He's too good. He's not righteous. He's not just. It wouldn't be right. And you know what? He wants you to be like God himself. And he wants all the glory. He ain't going to give you none. Well, boy, he convinced them. And I tell you, you want to be made wise? Eat that fruit. You want to be made smart? Eat that fruit. You want to know how God, how glorified God, how you'll be glory, you'll be a God yourself. Eat that fruit. Yeah, my. He's been doing men that way ever since. Eat the fruit. It ain't going to hurt you. Eat the fruit. It ain't going to hurt you. Oh, my. And I tell you what. And you know what he does? He comes as an angel of light. And I tell you what. And he's got a malignant form. And you know how what he does? He takes the young and overcomes the young through their lust. And he overcomes the older folks through their pride. Oh, my. Pride. Oh, my goodness. Man, young man, he gets him. Makes him feel strong and he can do anything he wants to. And then he takes an old folk, takes people like us and makes us so proud. Proud of how long we've lived. Proud of how smart we are. Proud of how good we've done. Proud of how much we make. Proud of the house. Proud of everything we've ever done. Oh, Scott said like one time, he said, a fella retires, gets him a mailbox about that big, puts his name on both sides, and says, sticks a no trespassing zone on his property, and said, I'm done. I don't want nobody around me. Don't come around me. It's my property. And then he sits down and dies. Dies. Now that's the way man is. He wants to be recognized. And I tell you, and the devil will make sure you get recognized. And he makes the dead. You know, and I've used this before. A funeral director that can make somebody that died look like they're laying there asleep and makes them look almost like all they're like you could almost get up and get out of the casket. Makes them look almost alive. That fella get all the business in town. But he's still dead. Huh? Oh, he makes the lie to appear like the truth. Darkness to look like light. He's strong. He's strong. But there's a stronger man. A stronger man. And I tell you, you know, he's limited in his strength. And you know who limits him? The Lord Jesus. He said, I cast him out by a finger. God asked Satan when they had a conversation over Job. Have you ever considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man. He's an upright man. And he hates evil. He said, I tell you what, you let me at him and I'll make him cuss you. He said, oh, well, take down that hedge around him. Well, go ahead. You know what Job did? He said, the Lord gave and the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan couldn't get him. You know why? Because he belonged to Christ. He belonged to Christ. And he ain't going to get us because he... And look what else it says about this strong man here in verse 21. Luke 11:21. He's armed. He's armed. He's armed. Armed with deceit. Armed with darkness. Armed with all the things that'll deceive a man. Our Lord said, you know, there was a fella that came along while the saints slumbered and slept. And an enemy came in among the wheat and sowed tares among that wheat. And I'll tell you, who's that enemy? That's Satan. He comes in and he sows tares. He makes people look like just like the real thing. Judas, you know, Judas wasn't discovered until he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. He spent 3 years with Christ, 3 years with the apostles. He done works, and he was a treasurer. And you know what? The scriptures tells us that he was not exposed until he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And they didn't know he did that till he come out and kissed Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was a deceiver. And this Satan is a deceiver and a liar from the beginning. And his armor is just absolute opposite of God. His girdle is a falsehood. He's a liar and the father of it. His breastplate is wickedness. His heart is wicked, and he puts men's heart in wickedness. His feet are shod with the gospel of hatred of God Almighty and the gospel of Christ. And I tell you what, he deceived Eve, and his shield is a shield of doubt. His helmet is a helmet of damnation. His sword is the imagination of an evil heart. He blinds men to the gospel of Christ. And I want you to see something in Isaiah 44. You need to see this. Isaiah 44. You know, I've seen this happen so many times over the years. And sooner or later, if it's a tear, or the natural man, he's got control over the natural man, that man will leave the gospel. And look what he said here in verse 20. Look what he said here in Isaiah 44:20. He said, he feedeth on ashes. Who in the world wants to eat ashes? But he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside. And listen, he cannot deliver his soul. And nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? I've got a lie in my right hand. Oh my. He'll cause a soul to make a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. And look what else he does over here in verse 21 of Luke 11:21. He keeps his palace. What's his palace? Man's heart. Man's heart. The natural man. It's the natural man's heart. That's what it is. The heart of man, the unregenerate man. He so perverts the mind. He so perverts the heart of man. That they can't see things as they clearly are. How many times have you seen somebody and thought, boy, he's certainly deceived in himself. He can't see things clearly. He certainly can't see himself. And you know, here's the thing about it. Men can't see clearly. And that's what our Lord, he even said, you know, he said, these fellas, you know, they want to come and take just a little bitty mite out of your eye. A little bitty mite out of your eye. And then they turn around and he said, well, how in the world are you going to dig out that mite? You got a beam in your eye because you think you can go, and you're so deceived in yourself that you think everybody else has got bad eyesight, but you got a whole beam in yours. And oh my, and here's what he makes those folks think. And I remember this. This is the boat I was in. Oh my goodness, till I was way up in my 20s. He makes them think that they're free while he holds them prisoner. He holds them prisoner by darkness, by ignorance, by superstition. Oh my. I was preaching one time here years and years ago out of 1 Corinthians and 14, I believe it is, about tongues, speaking in tongues, and you have to have an interpreter. And there ain't no such thing as an unknown tongue. It may be unknown to us, but it's known to somebody. I can't go to Mexico and speak in Spanish. But what I'm saying is I was dealing with that, and a woman came to me and she said, oh, I wouldn't deal with that for nothing. Said, you don't know whether those folks are right or not. She's scared to death, you know, to say anything against people speaking in this jibber-jabbers and can't nobody stand up and interpret it. As long as they're speaking in tongues, that's all that matters. Said, I wouldn't do that for nothing. Said, I'd be scared to death that I was preaching against something that's real. I didn't have no problem with it. But that's that superstition. That's that superstition. That's exactly what it is, being superstitious. Oh, my. I don't have no problem facing the Bible. I spoke in tongues. You know how I found out it wasn't real? From the Bible. You know how I found out I was deceived? From the Bible. You know how I realized women ain't supposed to preach? From the Bible. You know why I found out that men are not supposed, a church not cannot be divided together? From the Bible. How are people supposed to conduct themselves? By the Bible. And Satan will take the Bible and he'll twist it and pervert it and make people damn themselves by the very word of God. And oh my, he'll come along cause a man who's held by the awful bondage of sin to think that he's free as a bird. And I tell you what, look what it says, and again there in verse 21, his goods are in peace. They're in peace. They're not upset about nothing. I've seen folks that don't know God, never did know God, never did love the gospel. And I've dealt with funerals where people died with peace. They wasn't upset. They wasn't nervous. They wasn't afraid. They didn't think about eternity. They died with peace. How can a man die with peace? Because his goods are in peace. You know, and I tell you, if you have and here's the kind of peace they had. They had a peace without the cross. They had a bloodless peace. They didn't have Christ as peace. Every peace. Jeremiah said, they cry, peace, peace, and there ain't no peace. People preach, you know, make your peace with God. You can't do it. There's no way you can do that. But these folks were in peace. Oh, my. He keeps them in peace, peace. Oh, everything's all right. You're not going to die. And I'll be, you know, everybody gets to go to heaven. You ever been in a service that somebody didn't get to go to heaven? And when I preach a service where a man don't know God, don't know Christ, all I'll say is that they're in God's hand and I'm here to preach the gospel. But there's four things that never change. God's word never changed. Man never changed. Death never changes and hell never changes. And I tell you, no matter what happens in this world, men are going to have to deal with this eternity. And I tell you what, the worst thing of anybody can have is have a false peace. And you know how you can tell if you got a false peace? You'll run way back. You'll run to something you said. You'll run to something you done. You'll run to some goodness you done. Oh, listen, somebody's house burnt down. We gave them $500. And they keep it in peace. Everything's all right. And I'll tell you that when a soul begins to desire to get out of the way, get away from him, you know what he does then? He makes some promises. Oh, listen, if you stay with me, he said, I'm going to make you wealthy. I'll make you wise. I'll make you have a good life. And then, oh, if that doesn't work, he causes him great, great despair. Huh? Oh, my. He keeps his people in peace. Oh, I can read my Bible at home. You can't tell me anything. I already know it. I go to church regularly. I got a brick in the church that I paid for. I've got my name on it. Oh, you make too much out of sin. And I do as good as I possibly can. And I tell you a story I heard the other day. True story. Has this woman's husband got hurt on the job. And she asked the preacher, said, would you go see my husband? He said, yeah, I'd be glad to. Took his Bible with him, went in to visit her husband. Said, oh, I'm glad to see you, preacher, glad to see you. Glad you come. And he sat down and opened his Bible and he's going to read out of 1 John 5. But the first thing he asked that man, he said, are you a sinner? Called him by name, said, are you a sinner? He said, no, I wouldn't say that. No, I'm not perfect. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, but no, I wouldn't say I'm a sinner. Closed his Bible and walked out of the room. What are you doing? I got nothing for you. If you're not a sinner, ain't no sense me talking to you. That's where Satan has them goods kept in peace. Huh? That's them goods kept in peace. Oh, my. I've met a lot of folks that's not been sinners. Met a lot of them. Everybody else is, but not them. Oh, my. All right, look what happens now. In verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and listen to this, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor when he trusted. And I tell you, he takes everything he had, gets it away. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ, stronger than he. Oh, how strong is our Lord Jesus Christ? How strong do you reckon he is? How mighty do you reckon he is? He's called the mighty God. And I tell you, almighty power. God said, I laid help upon one that's almighty, chosen out of the people. And I tell you, we need somebody that's strong. I mean strong. And I tell you, you know how strong our Lord is? He upholds the world by the word of his power. You know that? And I tell you, the government is on his shoulder. Got the government on one shoulder and us on the other. I tell you, how great is our Lord Jesus Christ. His word is strong. His word is strong. His word is strong enough to break down a man's will. His wrong word is strong enough to give a man a new heart. His word is strong enough to make a man get in the dust and be glad that he's there. You don't like being... Anybody here that knows Christ likes being down? Likes being nothing? Likes being nobody? They like it. But Satan's people, oh no, they're not going to get down. They're not going to get down. But oh my, his word is strong. And I'll tell you something else. His work is strong. He said, I bow by the finger of God. Oh, my, his work is strong. How strong is his work? He said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, it shall not run over you. He said, I've chosen you. I've ordained you. I've kept you. Oh, my. His foundation is sure. And it stands sure. And I tell you everything about Christ, his word, his work, his foundation, everything about it. It will endure all the way through time and all the way through eternity. And I tell you, it's so good and it's so strong that it don't need no help. Don't need our help. Don't need our help. His word don't need our help. It's powerful enough in itself. His work don't need our help. It's finished. And I tell you what I love about it, that it will endure as long as I live, as long as you live, and then it will endure throughout all eternity. Oh my. And I tell you, he come to seek and to save that which is lost. You reckon he'll fail? You reckon he'll fail to save the lost? You reckon he'll fail to find them? Oh, no. And look what it says here in verse 22. He shall come upon him. He shall come upon him. I like this. You think he sneaks up on him? You think, I'm going to sneak up on him, see if I can catch him. Oh, no. I tell you what. He shall come upon him. Shall come upon him. They started close combat back in eternity. In Isaiah 14, it says, the son of the morning, Lucifer, he said, I will descend above the throne of the Most High God. I will be as God. And God cast him down. And everybody that believed his lie, God cast him down. And they started fighting. Started fighting. When God said, I'm going to put enmity between the woman's seed and your heel. I'm going to put them between you and the woman's seed. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And I've been fighting that way, and you know when? And I tell you what, close combat. And even in the announcement of our Lord's birth, you know the first thing that Herod wanted to do, since they said, born king of the Jews, he said, let's go kill him. Oh my. And I tell you, from the day that his birth was announced, until he, 33 years later, he went to to Calvary, went to Golgotha. They fought a battle. And our Lord Jesus Christ, He never lost the first time. Never lost the first time. You reckon He ever will? Oh, every time He says Satan comes and he has no part in me. He has no part in me. He got part in us, but he don't have no part in Christ. And oh my, it's like David. David had to face Goliath. Goliath is over 9 foot tall. David was a boy. He left the sheep and went to visit his brothers in the army when there's in the war. And they were scared to death, this great big giant. Everybody said, oh, let's send somebody out here. David said, I'll go. And I've got, there's a cause in this. What is it? The glory of God. That's what it is. The cause of Christ. We ain't going to let nobody rob God of His glory. He went out there with 5 smooth stones. What was the first one? God's sovereignty. And that's the only one he needed. Second one was total depravity, unconditional election, particular redemption, and perseverance. He had 5 of them, but he only needed one. That one had God's sovereignty wrote right on it. I tell you, he took that thing, whoom! He brought Goliath down. And that's the way our Lord Jesus Christ did. He didn't even have to use a stone. He just uses His word. Satan, you can go here. You can go there. You can do this. You can do that. But you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't go here. You can't go there. You can deal with this one, but you can't deal with that one. And you read in Revelation, God's got him on a chain. Everybody talks about how powerful the devil is. Listen. He has no power but what God Almighty gives him. And I'm telling you, I know that for a fact. I know that from the Bible. And let me tell you something. If Satan had as much power as everybody says he has, you know the first people he would attack would be us, God's people. And he don't have to really go after anybody. Man's wicked enough in himself. But boy, I tell you what, you know where he starts deceiving people at? In the pulpit. He just starts deceiving them in the pulpit and starts teaching them to tell lies on God, tell lies on the Bible, tell lies on people, tell lies on Christ. And he makes them to think Christ is helpless, that God's helpless, that Christ has no power, that his blood doesn't have any power, and that everything God and Christ does can't do it without man. I've heard preachers say that you're the one that's the sovereign. Man's sovereign. God can't do anything till God gets permission. Oh, but I tell you what, you know what David did? He stripped him, took his sword. Christ stripped Satan and took his weapons away from him for us. He ain't got no, Shirley mentioned one of these verses the other day, and I think it's in Isaiah 57, where it says, no weapon against thee shall prosper. Ain't that what God said that about it? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you, our Lord, He came upon Satan. And I tell you what, He faced him in the wilderness and defeated him. He faced him in the hatred of the Pharisees. They faced it upon his works and the demon possessed upon him, and then upon himself on the cross. And our Lord said, this is the power, hour of darkness, and the power and hour of darkness. But our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on that cross, he defeated him once and for all. You know why people were afraid of the devil? And this is the reason. because Satan had the power of death. You know where he started out with the power of death? In the Garden of Eden. And he made people scared to death of death all the time. You know why they're scared of death? Because if I die in my sin, where am I going to end up at? So he makes them think, you know, that they're okay. But that's why, and our Lord said that he came to destroy him who had power over death. You know why power of death don't have any power over us anymore? Because sin's destroyed. He destroyed sin on the cross. He destroyed lies on the cross. He destroyed the power of Satan on the cross. He destroyed everything about that was against us on the cross. Oh my. And then look what it says. Overcome him. Overcome him. And listen to what else it says. And takes from him all his armor. He got it. He got it. Took his armor. Overcame him. Goliath was slain with his own sword. Do you know that? David cut his head off with his own sword. And I tell you what, he crushed the serpent's head. And he said, when it is finished, everything that could ever be held against us for time and eternity was over and done with. Huh? But I'll tell you something. Men love darkness. And I'll tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, he rolled back the darkness. He arose that third morning. And the scripture said he came to set the prisoner free. And let me say this in closing. And by his grace, he despises the foils, divides the spoils. He takes away Christ and all the armor he had against us and spoiled it, and gave gifts unto men. He brings freedom where there was nothing but bondage, peace where there was nothing but turmoil, power in the place of our weakness. He brought light and brought us out of darkness. He brought us a knowledge of ourselves and of God and Christ and sin in the place of self-deceit. He gave us truth in the place of a lie. And when he won the victory, we who believe on him won the victory with him. When he defeated him, we defeated him. When he overcome, we overcome. And oh my, man had been captured, and God captivated, and God destroyed his goods and destroyed the power of the devil. And I tell you what, he restored us to God and our rightful Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. He restored our freedom to worship God and to pray, which we were never able to do. He restored our understandings, and we understand things that we never had a clue at before. He restored our knowledge of the one true and living God. And he did it all. All to him I owe. He did it all. Oh my. And then it says here back over in back in Mark. Let me say this, and gotta say this, and I tell you this is scary. And this, you know, you can tell if a man's blasphemed against God and never be forgiven. Our Lord said in verse 28, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, all of them. And even blasphemies. Wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. Our Lord even said, you can speak a word against me, and it'll be forgiven. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. And here's what they did. When you attribute the work of what God does by the Holy Spirit to another spirit besides the Spirit of Christ, when you say, they said, he does this by an unclean spirit. You attribute to the work of God to what the devil does, and you'll never have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. That's what that means. I mean, you can speak against Christ. I spoke against Christ and God saved me. I spoke against God and God saved me. But boy, if you start attributing what God does and what He does by the work of the Holy Spirit, you start attributing that to the devil, and you'll end up in hell. Huh? You know, and this is one thing I know a believer can't do. He can't deny Christ. He can't deny the gospel. And he cannot deny the work of the Holy Ghost in themselves. He can't do it. There's no danger of a believer ever doing that. Can't do it. Can't do it. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, it's your word. It belongs to you. And I pray that you'd take what's been said and done, said here today, use it, as seemeth good in your sight. I pray that we understand clearly, plainly, with our hearts, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have no reason to fear death, no reason to feel punishment for our sins or the wrath of God ever being brought on us, or fear the judgment of God, because we've already been through that with our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. God bless these dear saints and keep them. Have mercy, mercy, mercy upon those we love, our children and grandchildren, husbands and wives, sons and daughters. Do what only you can do for them, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. He's the Savior of my soul, Jesus, my Jesus. He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. Jesus, 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 He's the Savior of my soul. He's the Savior of my soul. See you tonight, 6 o'clock, God willing. Lord bless you.